Welcome back, Scotch Gamers, from our impromptu, 2 week break or so? Apologise, but we're back. Sunday, 3rd of February, 2013. And this is Scotch Gaming. Today we have quite a slew of hosts with us. We've got one new one and some old favourites. We'll go through the old favourites first before we introduce our new host. First off, we have Liam. How you been, mate? Give us an explanation of what you've been doing.
Been good. I've been fucking playing a ton of games and working, motherfucker, and getting drunk every day. So the usual.
Quite good. Nick, how have you been, mate?
Yeah, good, mate. Been a while. Been working on Game Guy as per usual. Selling video games at the shop and making a game in my spare time. It's been pretty
That's
cool.
Right. I have had a little sneak peek of it.
Yeah.
Not going to say anything, but it's pretty fucking good.
I heard it's pretty retro, so hopefully we'll have some more news on that soon.
Excellent.
I heard it was shit.
You're an idiot, Liam. No one listens to what you say. Alright, and we've got a token American back with us again this week. Probably going to be drunk by the show again. Might be falling asleep, who knows. What he gets up
Mint?
To?
No way.
He's crazy, doesn't give a fuck. What you been up to, mate?
You know, mate. So recently my friend Krasak bought a Minecraft server, you know, been playing that a lot, just raiding World of Warcraft, buying furniture for my house, appliances, life's going pretty well. Went out to a bonfire last night, but the cops came, that was kind of lame. I had a conversation with them, I was pretty drunk, and I was just like, well, seems, you know, what's the problem, guys? They're like, well, we've had some reports of underage drinking, it seems like someone you invited called the police, so I was just like, okay, whatever. They're like, CHP's that way, they're picking people off, so... Yeah, it's time for you guys to go. And then the fire department came and put the bonfire out. It was pretty hilarious.
Wow, that's pretty crazy.
That was good last night, but yeah.
And
everything's going pretty great.
And me, I've had no internet for the last, 6 days or something. I don't know if you guys know, but we had big floods in Queensland. My internet went out. I raged a lot. That's why we didn't have the podcast last week. But came back earlier than expected, not bad. So, we're here again. With us today, we've got a new host. He has got a new computer, so he is now finally able to join us on the air. He's got new internet. It is Jesse Fowler, a.k.a. Volcan. Tell the guys something a bit about you, what you're drinking, what you're into. Tell them about you.
Hi, guys. I've known these guys for quite a while now, and I do listen to the show quite regularly. I've always been into games and stuff, and I've played a lot of WoW, and I was in a really high rating guild, and I moved house, so I never had internet, and so a couple of weeks back I decided to go out and spend $5,000 on a computer and a new internet package, so I can actually kind of hop on with you guys now. Yep. I'm drinking Johnny Walker Explorer's Club. You're going to get duty free from airports only, so yeah, it's pretty nice. Yep.
Excellent. Welcome to the show, and yes. Looking forward to hear what you have to say about the topics for this week.
Yes.
So we'll get straight into it, I guess. Have been news to talk about this week. We'll get right into it with Cyberpunk 2077. We found out it's going to be running on a new engine that they're creating. What they're basically saying that this engine will be able to do is... Well, you have your games like Skyrim, right? Where story, not so much, but open world, crazy, good, explorable. Then you have these linear story games, amazing story, but you can't really go explore it that much. What they're saying with this engine is that it'll give you the best of both worlds. You'll have a crazy open world with the amount of story you have in a more linear game. What do you guys think about that?
I think that's the aim of like every game developer, isn't it? And it's a big ask, but if anybody could deliver it, I reckon these guys might actually have a good shot. If I'm not mistaken, these are the guys who did Witcher 2.
Yeah. Well, they already half went there with Witcher 2, right? Like that was that had amazing graphics. The world wasn't like really really open world, but it was fairly open world-ish, and it had amazing
graphics. Pretty good.
So I don't know. I think they could accomplish it. I can't imagine like what's gonna have to, what type of graphics card or what you have to do to run this, but looks pretty good. Apparently it's called, if I'm reading right here, it's called Red Engine 2. It's internal name.
I'm not 100% sure. So far, is Cyberpunk only slated for PC?
I'm not sure. No, it's a PS4, I think, as well. Oh no.
Yeah, because I was gonna say it looks like it'd have to be next gen if it was gonna be console at all from the looks of it.
I'd say it's next gen for sure. I'm pretty excited that this the new engine. I'm glad they're not doing it on the old engine for sure.
What I've read about the new engine that they're making, apparently it actually almost ran them out of business, because I had a lot of problems with actual piracy with The Witcher 2, so hopefully they don't actually make a massive mistake with this new game and, like, destroy the DRM, so we'll see how we go with that.
I thought they did have a lot of pirated copies, but I thought they actually made a lot of money from it as well.
Yeah, well, they actually kind of revolutionized the way they did it. Well, they actually said, we're going to remove the DRM, and we're going to sell it at a reduced price, and people actually went out and bought it on the Steam deals, and a lot of people just went out and bought it. It was really strange how it happened, but good kudos to them. They're really good game. They make really good games. Like, I've never had played a bad game by them.
I think props to them for doing that. They just prove that, you know, gamers are willing to pay reasonable price for a game if it's a decent game. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of piracy out there and stuff, but is it because that we're being overcharged for rubbish?
They're always being overcharged for rubbish. They always charge us for, like, shit games. They have to fund the game somehow, so they pump out these games after games after games that are shit. But if you have a good game and charge a good price, like, look at Torchlight 2 or something like that. Amazing game. Yeah. $20. Diablo 3.
I thought it was $20.
Yeah, $20. $20. That's what I said.
Yeah, no. $20. For $20, an amazing game.
Yeah, and moddable. You can do anything you want to it, so you give the mod community something to do. That's one thing I think that a lot of gaming companies need to, like, get their heads around, is that modding extends your game, it helps your game so much, and if you can let modders do stuff to your game, you're going to be better for it.
Well, I mean, mate, look at World of Warcraft, and Star Wars was a great MMO. Like, it was definitely a fun game, and they could have developed more endgame, but if they had, like, the ability for people to develop mods for it, I have the feeling that the game would have gone further than it did.
Completely agree. That's one thing. I followed the game a lot when it was going. I followed it for 2 years or something before
it came
out. You loved
Star Wars, man. You were all about it.
Yeah. One thing that I said is that I couldn't believe they weren't letting mods be available. It was.
You know what they did?
I didn't understand.
They tried to develop their own system to customize your UI, but their system was shit because you can't expect, you know, a game producer at this point in time to develop, like, an amazing system for an MMO and then produce an amazing game as well. It has to be one or the other. You have to leave something for independent people to develop what they want and what other people will want. You can't please everyone with one thing, and that's what they tried to do.
Exactly. We're getting a little bit far away from a new engine into Star Wars talk, but like, I'm excited for the new engine. I'm always looking forward to new technological innovations. So that's pretty much all I have to say about it.
Well, another thing is, like, we're going to have to see how the architecture on the actual PS4 is going to be, if they're going to put it on there, because when the PS3 first came out, because I had the Cell processor, apparently it was a nightmare to actually program for, because I had to actually spread the code over 8 different CPUs and physical and non-physical, so we'll just see how that turns out. So
we will find out on February 20th.
The dev kits have been out for a while. They've been running with the codename Orbis and Durango. Yeah. And word is to people who've been using those dev kits, apparently they're very not user-friendly. It's a word, I don't know, programming-friendly. Apparently, they're really easy to program for. So obviously they've, like, learned a bit of a lesson from the last time around when they caused everybody so much grief.
Well, this sort of leads us on to our next topic anyway. Sony has announced that they're going to announce information about the new PlayStation 4 on February 20th, apparently. It's a bit of a weird having announcements of announcements these days, and, like, instead of just
happens
coming out.
A lot.
I guess they're trying to hype up media attention, so when
Mate,
the announcement
that came
actually
with Twitter.
Happens.
Like, as soon as Twitter came out, that kind of shit started developing. We're going to announce our announcement on Twitter first.
But so what you're going back to what you're saying, Nick, this sort of leads into it, is yes, with the PlayStation 3, it was a nightmare to develop for at the start, and that's one of the reasons the Xbox 360 actually came out on top, because developers had it was a much easier time developing for the 360. Like, now they've figured out the PS3, but And at the start, they had no clue.
Yeah, that and the fact that they had a year head start, which I think it's pretty interesting that Sony's jumping out of the gate first.
Again, right? It doesn't seem like the smartest decision.
Mm. Yeah, I always like the fact that they sat back and, you know, thought, you know what, we're going to see what they're doing and then do it better, which I've always been a Sony fan over Xbox, but, you know, I want to start a huge debate about that. But I think the Sony machine is, like, a superior machine in terms of technology and stuff.
Power-wise,
yeah, but yeah, the fact they're coming out the gate first, interesting. Well, Xbox is going to do that.
Well, Wii U is, well, next-gen, apparently,
yeah,
but, so...
That is not...
Not really.
It's catching up to current gen, that's what the Wii U... I wasn't excited about the Wii U. I mean, February 20, I'm excited. I'm thinking about February 20, because this is the first real glimpse at next-gen consoles.
Well,
and I think a lot of people out there are really feeling the same way.
Yeah, well, I think about Nintendo, because about the Wii U, it was so popular because it was very family-friendly. Well, I think that they just strive to innovate, like, new ways of playing games. So hopefully on their next console, they'll use the technology they with the Wii U with actually new hardware that's a lot better and can actually compare to the new consoles.
Well,
yeah, I mean, by the time the PS5 comes out, I'm sure they'll come out with something that's decent.
Well, the only thing... I'm really actually excited about this.
The problem is that the Wii U is already out. Now we're going to have PS4 and the new Xbox that's going to come out. Wii U is not a competition for that. Wii U is a competition for the current gen consoles. So by the time that the Wii or Nintendo develops a new console, we're going to be so far into the progression of PS4 and all these consoles that their next Nintendo console is probably only going to compete with PS4 and the new Xbox. We need to change their timing by a lot and then develop something completely different than what they've been going at.
Can I make a prediction?
What's a prediction?
Can I want to go on record as making a prediction. Last home console, Nintendo.
They have a huge bank, man. Like, Nintendo has a bank. They are such a rich company. I can't see them...
They rule the handheld market without a doubt. I will not argue that fact. They're the king of handhelds. But I reckon they really botched this one.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think they're too concerned with it. I think, like you said, they've ruled the handheld, you know, department. But at this point, they should be concerned with all the handhelds that are coming out. Like, there's been a lot of developments in handhelds recently. But I think that they should be raising some concern about it
but
at this point.
Think about it. Like, when you think of a handheld, what do you think of? You think of Game Boy.
Of Game Boy. Yeah, exactly. Everyone does.
Dang.
And the problem is with that, though, is because, well, handhelds are coming so, like, bigger now, because you've got the Android handhelds coming out, like, NVIDIA are actually making one now, which is a bit crazy. Everyone was thought they were going to announce their next line of graphics cards, but no, they're focusing all their power on their tablets and a new handheld, so maybe Android will be the thing that will beat all the handhelds, you never know.
I think what it's going to depend on is it's going to step up to, like, NVIDIA's going to have to develop graphics cards as soon as AMD, whatever the fuck, sorry. And the other competitors, like, release a new graphics card.
Well,
and the new architecture, like, which right now they haven't. It's really slow because the 680s are so fucking fantastic that there's no competition for them.
I'm going to get a 680. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I have two 680s, and I've got to say, they are incredible. Like,
I mean, you can run the top-end games on the market, Far Cry 3, on the absolute best graphics on one 680. So it's really hard right now for any competitors to, like, step up to that because there's no other card on the market that can really compete. And
especially now that what was actually announced a couple of weeks back that Intel and NVIDIA are working together now. So,
I've always kind of considered them to be, you know,
on
two
the same
companies
level.
Separate from AMD and,
yeah,
and whatever the fuck. I don't remember what the other
company
is called for some reason. ATI,
yeah.
No, it's not ATI. That's their.
I can't remember. So
neither can I. I hate the cards so much.
Yeah, they run so hot.
Nick's just like, what is all this computer talk going on?
Sorry. I'm like, yeah, you're talking another language to me, man. All console. So I'm just looking at some stuff. It's all good. Carry on.
Well, I think it might be ATI.
Looking forward to the PS4 news so much is not. Everyone knows I don't like consoles that much. I don't really play them. I don't really care. What I'm excited about is, though, when we get to the next generation, of games for the consoles. Like, computer games could be so much better than they are right now. Like, graphics-wise, you could do so much more than you do, but they don't, because they have to do ports pretty much for most consoles. Every single PC game is generally going to be on a console at the same time, so you can't have something too crazy, otherwise you won't be able to run on a console.
Well, it's like PC's constantly pushing us forward, but they're being held back by console.
Exactly.
Well, and we could be so far further ahead if there was no console, is what you're saying.
I think.
I don't know, man.
I think that consoles have actually poured so much money into the games industry that it's actually doing a good thing. But
well, that's what Jesse said. And the thing is, how much further do we want to go so fast? Yeah. Honestly, for the industry, it's better to progress slowly to make more money to progress in more ways slowly. And slowly progress, but putting the most money into one thing, making money off that, moving to the next thing, continuing like that, rather than going, you know, going for broke at one point in time and going for the absolute fucking mega, like, can't top this shit, best shit you can do. So it's better the rate that we're progressing in, and that consoles are kind of holding us back at this point, I guess you could say. But, I mean, console gaming takes up more than probably 70% of gaming in general.
Exactly.
Probably a higher number than that. That's like a number that I just made
that's
up. I have no idea.
But
console gaming is, you know, providing a majority of game income right now, like, for all the developers, because there's a lot more people to play them, and there's a lot more people that can afford them. You buy a console for $300, $400, and you go to buy a game for $60, and that's it. You don't have to fucking spend $2,000 on a computer to play the game on Ultra. Okay. So...
Well, also, speaking about the PS4, well, the actual specs allegedly got leaked. I have a list here, and I could actually go through them if you like.
Yeah,
well,
I can explain.
Well, it's got an 8-core CPU running at 1.6 GHz per core, which is actually, like, it's not too bad, like, because actually, with consoles, it's more about how much power processing it can actually handle, because with a PC, you've got the motherboard, you've got all that, and everything's separate. Well, on these, everything's built onto the motherboard, so it's going to be very powerful. And with the GPU, they've actually changed a lot, because with the PS3, they were using a graphics card called the RSX, which is based off NVIDIA. Now they've gone with AMD, which it's actually very powerful by the looks of it. It runs DirectX 11 quite easily, so that's saying something.
Wait, hold on. You're saying PS4 is using AMD now?
Yep, their graphics card is AMD, yep, and their CPU was made by, I can't remember the name, actually. Yeah, it's a big company, but, it's
the
running...
competitor to Intel.
Yeah.
I don't remember their name either. I can't fucking remember for some
reason. Yeah, it's such an I can't remember. But IMB, I think it is. Yeah, IMB. Is it? IBM?
IBM.
Yeah, that's right. And, so it's actually gone to AMD, which is... It's actually based off a graphics card in a computer called Southern Islands Architecture, which is very interesting. So it's got 4 GB of DDR3 RAM. Well, considering the PS3 had, like, less than... only had 256 megabytes, so you put it that way, it's a lot
that's
more powerful.
That's huge.
Yeah, and it's...
4 GB, are they running? Are they running DDR3, DDR5? Like, what are they running?
Graphics card, DDR5. And it's
I've seen the graphics and all that, but...
It's shared 800 megahertz for a graphics card, which is quite powerful for a console. But with the memory in the PS4, it's actually got 3.5 gigabyte available just to games, not the operating system, so that's quite large. With the storage, it comes with 500 gigabyte stock, but there's actually a slot in it that you can put an SSD, which will boost power quite hugely. I put an SSD in my computer, and I boot my computer or run games like instantly. I click my finger, and it just loads up. It's incredible.
Well, yeah, SSDs are extremely fast.
Yeah,
that's
so
amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
I've been wondering for a long time why consoles haven't done that. Had the ability to upgrade them in a sense by, you know, having slots and things.
I'm really concerned with Sony's approach right now to, like, right now where they're releasing their console using the graphics card they're using is probably the absolute worst time. We've had 680s out for a while, we've had AMD's cards out for a while. You know, we're right on the verge. I guess supposedly NVIDIA's cards are going to be coming out next, like, October, November, I've heard from someone that I won't mention. You know, maybe even prior to that. So, like, it would probably be smarter for them to wait for the next gen of graphics cards to develop something based off that, which I have a feeling the Xbox might be, or Microsoft.
But the problem with that is, Chris, is, like, they're not just based on, like, the best like the best graphics cards and stuff. They're also based like on market reasons and when they want to release consoles.
Yeah.
Yeah. However, right now
you can only wait so long. Like, I mean, there's always going to be something awesome on the horizon. Yet at some point, you've just got to pull the trigger and, you know, like release.
Okay,
this
but
thing.
Wait. There's always going to be something awesome on the horizon. But do you want to, you know, develop something at the beginning of that awesome thing on the horizon, or do you want to develop it at the end? And right now, we're at the cusp of the beginning. And they should really be developing something based off the beginning of it, not the end of it. Right now, they're basing it off the end. I mean, like, we're at the end of a cycle of developed graphics card, you know, capabilities. Mm. You know, with the 680s and the AMD cards. Like, it's at the end of everything.
I mean, you're right. Microsoft could potentially get an advantage on this one. I mean, question is, too, I'm really keen to see from Microsoft what they're going to do in terms of releasing a better quality disc. I mean, they're, you know, running off the standard DVD for how long, because Sony's basically got the Blu-ray market cornered. I mean, are they going to come up with a HD disc, or what's the deal? Sony ever going to allow them to actually use Blu-rays? Like,
That's interesting.
I mean, there's that too. Like, I think it's kind of silly when I see a game come out on both formats, and like it's four discs on 360 and one on PS3. Like, I find that hilarious.
L.A. Noire.
Yeah, so I was totally thinking of L.A. Noire too. But yeah, I mean, stuff like that to me is like, we should be way beyond the whole please insert disc 2 crap. Like, I wonder what Microsoft answer is going to be to that. Well, yeah.
That is really interesting.
I actually could see PS4 going the digital route and not so much the Xbox going. Because the thing is, Xbox has such close ties with all the retailers. They're really, like, hand in hand. They GameStop, yeah.
We might as well refer to them as Microsoft. I mean,
Microsoft. Whereas like Sony, not so much. They don't really care as much about the retailers, I don't think. I don't have as many relationships with them like Xbox.
It's a cultural thing too, because Microsoft's American, right? And Sony or PlayStation is Japanese. So I mean, you know, in American sense, like, obviously they have to like really think about the retailers and you know, big business with the Japanese are just sort of about pushing it forward. You know, they were the one that gave us the PS Go. They've been trying to move into the digital scene for ages. If they can cut out the middleman, I'm sure they will. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they're going to do.
All right, so we go around. One thing, if you could wish was one thing with the PlayStation 4, what would it be? We'll just go around. We'll go start off with Nick. One thing you wish for.
I hate these on the spot questions.
I always do them though. It's put you on the spot, mate.
Oh, mate. If I could wish for one thing, I hope it has a lens that sucks me into the screen and gives me full immersion in the game. What the hell? We're making wishes.
I like
sure,
it.
Why not?
Chris,
you know what? It's a good thing you mentioned that, because what do they have that's going to compete with Kinect? Although Kinect hasn't exactly been that great, what are they going to develop that's, you know, really going to be like a
PlayStation Move?
I got news on that. Sony is basically calling it quits on the whole Move thing. They've realised it's a complete and utter bust. Their next big thing, apparently, is some kind of glasses. Special glasses.
That's the wrong route, mate. That's where Sony's going wrong. No one wants to fucking wear glasses to play games. That's a problem.
I guess it depends what it's going to add. Like, it can't be just 3D, because 3D glasses have been out for, like, how long? I guess it all depends on what these glasses do exactly, but yeah, I don't know, I'm over the whole peripheral
thing. The problem
thing
with, like, virtual reality, like, glasses type of thing is latency. There's a certain latency you get when you communicate from, like, devices, and it's actually noticeable if you try to move with your head. So that's a problem that they really need to figure out before they move into that area, like, latency-wise. It's only a couple milliseconds.
On the market.
Yeah. Alright, Chris, what's your wish? Give it to me straight, man.
My wish is that Sony would just fucking die and never come back. Okay, thanks. No, I'm just kidding. I really hope that they develop a pretty good console so that, you know, Microsoft realizes they have a huge game to step up and really compete with them, because, you know me, I play Xbox, I don't play PlayStation. That's just who I am. You know, it's mostly because I grew up playing Halo. I didn't grow up playing Halo, but when I was, you know, in school a while ago, I'd play Halo with my friends, and that's like we would land playing Halo and shit. And so I, you know, grew up kind of playing Xbox instead of PlayStation. Although when I was much, much younger, I played PlayStation much more. I still like Xbox a lot at this point. And I really hope that Microsoft develops a better console than them. So I'm hoping that Sony right now develop something that's good, but it's not the best, and then Microsoft has, you know, a good opportunity to really compete with Sony.
You just want it to keep on going. Keep on going like it is.
Exactly, and I want Sony to develop something that Microsoft really has to develop an amazing console to compete with, because I feel like, you know, Microsoft has a lot of opportunities at this point, and I really hope that Microsoft uses NVIDIA, and I really hope that they wait for the new NVIDIA cards, which I kind of feel like Microsoft is almost playing this one smart and waiting for the new architecture of graphics cards. Kind of what it looks like to me at this point.
Right.
I feel like that's the right move for a new console at this point.
All right, sounds good. Jesse, lay it on me.
I actually hope that the PS4 can support 4K TVs, because it's the new big and coming thing, and on the actual specs list, it only says 1080p and not 4K, so...
4K... See, the thing with 4Ks, though, I feel like they're still quite a way off. Like, obviously, they're not even making them to buy yet. And when they do release them, it's going to be, like, what, $20,000 to $30,000 to buy a TV?
Like, Samsung and LG have made theirs. They took it to CES, actually, and it was going to be for $7,000. It's still expensive. But when LCDs first come out, they were also very expensive, if you really think about it. But, I think that with their graphics card, as Chris was saying before, the PS3 was off a old NVIDIA graphics card called a 7800 GT, and that was based off that. So we'll have to see how we go, because there is a couple games on the PS3 that does lag, and like you can't get away from it. And like Skyrim had a massive problem when it first came out, because the actual CPU graphics couldn't actually handle the game correctly, so they have to actually dumb it down a little bit. So we'll see how we go with 4K.
Alright, so we're going to move on to our next topic. We spent quite a while on that one. I liked it. One for you, Nick, I think. Resident Evil, they're saying it may get a reboot. Do you think it's time for a reboot on Resident Evil?
Yeah, long overdue, mate. Long overdue. It's getting pretty bloody convoluted and complicated, the old Resident Evil story. And, I mean, coming off the back of DMD, another, like, humongous, Japanese title, did such a fantastic job on that I'd actually be really hopeful to see a Resident Evil reboot.
I'm getting
progressively, like, less interested in Resident Evil with each successive sequel. But yeah, I think probably a read might rejuvenate it a little bit.
How do you feel about the newest Resident Evil game?
Number 6.
We hated it, didn't we? Everyone hated it.
I didn't like it much.
Yeah, actually...
Okay, everyone hated it, man. It was one of the worst games of this year.
Yeah, the last episode last year, I think I had it slated to talk about as my worst game before we had some technical difficulties. But yeah, that was probably the game I was most excited about, but... let me down the most.
Exactly, it was one of the most anticipated games.
Yeah,
it turned out to be terrible.
Because
and
the
you know
trailer,
what? The game looked absolutely great.
It
the
looked
game looked
fantastic.
Amazing. I wanted
yeah,
the
no,
game.
The cinematics were amazing. But you know what? It should just make a movie out of it then. Don't make a game.
Don't say that.
They were clunky as hell.
They've made so many movies already, man. I mean.
Oh yeah, they're good.
Yeah, CGI Resident Evil movies are good.
Let's not talk about those horrible fucking shitty ones.
Mila Jovovich can go fuck herself.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, better yet, I'll do it.
But she's hot.
No, I'm just kidding.
you'll help with it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I'll help with that.
But no, I think, like, what we saw with Devil May Cry, we're going to talk about it later, but reboots can really work to rejuvenize a franchise. Resident Evil, I think, definitely is the need for one. What do you think they should change about it if they did a reboot? What do you think? Do you think they could add?
Okay, my big qualm with current Resident Evil games, they've really steered away from what made them great back in the day, which was there was a lot of exploration and puzzle solving back in the day. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, actually, I have to think there was eerie element about, you know, walking around a mansion or Raccoon City and having to solve these little puzzles to open up different areas and, you know, continue on. They just became your basic, just shoot your way from
action.
Point A to B. Yeah, they became action games. There was no, like, depth to them whatsoever. They just walked you from one cutscene to another. It lost all of that oh no, the intellectual side, I guess. Like, I really enjoyed that about Resident Evil. Yeah, it was scary, but you also had to think your way through some problems, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I just wish they would go back to that.
Babe, think back to, like, do you remember the original Prince of Persia games on Xbox and PlayStation?
The Sands of Time? Yeah.
What are we talking about?
Yeah, oh, like, the very first ones. And do you remember how you had to, like, find the secret rooms and, like, you know, find, like, these little random shortcuts that were, like, agility courses to really get extra health globes and sand globes and stuff like that? Like, it's the exact same thing with that. The game used to be very difficult to play. Prince of Persia was like, fuck, man, if I'm going to be good at this game, like, you know, I have to either read a fucking guide to, like, find what I need to find, or I need to really, really be smart about looking for stuff. It was, like, one or the other.
If you thought that was bad, did you ever play the original Persia on PC?
No, I don't
like, know about that.
Okay, there's no saves. You have 1 hour to complete the game, and you can't screw up. It was amazing. You know how much I played that when I was into it? I loved that. And you could restart from the start, and you would go all the way through that game many times. We have save points every two seconds these days, and if, you know...
Games are a lot shorter back then, though. You gotta most games that were a lot shorter. I remember Captain Planet I used to play when I was a kid. It was super hard, and when you run out of lives, it's done. You have to do it all again. But, like, you could learn each part, and if you did the whole thing, it only take you, like, what, 2 hours maybe to do the whole thing. If you learned it, like...
Well, same with Prince of Persia. I mean, it could be finished in 1 hour. Like, at that time limit, because it could be finished in 1 hour.
Well, anyway, I'm just trying to give an example of, like, a game that also... you know, definitely tone down the intellectual part of the game and, like, everything about the game. Made it much easier.
Well, one game series that has copied Resident Evil and is basically like the old Resident Evil games is just Dead Space now. Dead Space has copied everything that the original Resident Evil did, and it's succeeding in every way possible.
Kurt,
when
I found
9 more
diamonds, by the way, in the last 20 minutes.
In Dead Space, it's got the horror element, the exploration element, it's got the thinking element, like backtrack and think. Then you've got the puzzles with the stasis and jumping and everything. It's a puzzle game as well, and it's succeeding where Resident Evil should be as well.
Yeah. That's probably pretty fair call.
They just need to go back to the horror, because Resident Evil's not even scary now.
Yeah, it's almost laughable. You know what? Zombies with guns. What the fuck is that? Like, seriously.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
I'll
call a duty if I want to be shot at. You know what I mean? Like, I want zombies to be stupid, like, stumbling towards me trying to bite me. That's scary.
And a lot of them. You want a lot of them.
You remember the original? Exactly. Like, mate, the first Resident Evil movie that came out, that was such a fucking good movie.
Oh.
And yeah, it was pretty good.
They had so much potential with what they had in that franchise to develop amazing fucking games, but they didn't do it. End of story. Like, I think we can
play
this
one. So, move on.
I also think that the game, because when it first came out in Japan, it was actually a different name. I think it was called, like, Biohazard or something. But,
It still is called Biohazard.
Yeah, well, I think it's become really westernized, if you know what I mean. Because, like, the Japanese games are so different compared to, like, American games.
Okay,
And I think that, like, they know they're going to sell more for, like, 13-year-old kids who play Call of Duty. It's just going to be more shooting, you know what I mean?
Like, so it's America's fault?
No, it's not America's fault.
Blame
America.
Yeah, blame America. Damn it, Chris. Fuck yeah, blame America. I like it.
I think it's more to do with the evolution of gaming these days, because kids play, like, you go on Xbox Live, you're playing with 14-year-olds now, like...
Wait, cool. Xbox. Dusty, you just said the key. We're playing with kids these days, alright?
Yeah.
And the kids, you know what they fucking want? They want it easy. Every fucking child and kid, young person that plays games, sure, it's great. They're playing games and they're young. Like, no problem with that. But they want it fucking easy. No one wants a challenge. You know why?
Exactly right. That's why you play Call of Duty these days. Even, like, the single player, you take, like, 14 shots before you die. Like,
I mean,
it's ridiculous.
I don't want to blame America, because, sure, America's a cool country. And I'm sure other countries have the same fucking problem with wanting shit easy, mate. Like, it's not just the U.S. But everyone that I know here just wants everything easy. Everyone wants no fucking challenge. They'd rather play a game you can walk through. Why do you think guides are developed? Why do you think guides make so much money? Because everyone just buys the fucking guide and plays the game with a guide. Instead, but the problem is that... Oh, shit. sorry. Something happened on my mind in Minecraft. Anyway. The problem with these fucking games is that there's so many guides developed, and now instead of people buying the guides, the game developers are just saying, well, let's just make the games easier and the story. Yeah. Now, what really should be going on is people should be still playing hard games, and if they really want the game to be easy, still buying a Brady game guide. You know? Like, what's the problem with that?
Read a guide,
figure out what the fuck you have to do by reading off someone offline. Don't fucking make the game easier for everyone else.
Do you know what would be better? If, like, people under the age of 17 don't play fucking hard games, like, games that adults should be playing. Like, it's just like any kid now can go out and buy, like, I'm not saying it's wrong, like, it is, but, like, any kid, like, even 11-year-olds, like, I go into Nick's work, EB Games, and I see, like, parents buying, get 9-year-old Call of Duty. It's ridiculous.
Like, yep.
Yeah.
Every
yeah,
kid.
It's not a problem.
I remember when finishing a game, if not when. Do you remember finishing a game was a hard thing to do?
Yeah.
And there was a lot of games you didn't finish back then, but when you did finish one,
it felt like
it was
an
amazing.
Accomplishment, man. It was like, now it's just like, oh, gotta finish this game. Like, I just gotta finish it, man, so I can feel completed.
It's just a matter of time. Finish it. That's
exactly.
Everybody should be made to play Dark Souls before they play Call of Duty. Then they felt fucking bad.
No, fuck Dark Souls. Everyone used to play Dragon's Dogma.
Well, that was a great game as well.
That was a very underrated game, I heard. Yeah, I really want to play that.
Yeah.
Dragon's Dogma was a
was
very
really good.
Underrated game, and it's actually extremely difficult.
Very hard.
Yeah, harder than Dark Souls, I'll say that.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far. It's still pretty hard.
I would go that far, mate. Come on, Dragon's Dogma, that is a harder game than Dark Souls.
Yeah, I think it's
Dragon's Dogma took way more effort to
get anywhere
in the game.
I don't know, I finished Dragon's Dogma, I didn't finish Dark Souls yet.
Well, that's just because you don't have the fucking effort, mate. The little effort, mate.
No,
I'm
not at the moment. Fucking play the game, I raged Dark Souls so many times, it's not even a fucking joke anymore.
Maybe you just need the skill, mate.
Oh, fuck, I need a lot of skill.
Alright, let's move on to our next topic, quickly. I know a few of you guys played Torchlight 2. I know you do. You guys know that I played Torchlight 2 a lot. I played it a lot. Oh. I played the hardest mode. I was really good at that game.
Brought me into that game, playing the hardest mode my first time playing, and we still had it, no problem.
It was fun. Eventually I got bored after getting up to New Game Plus 5. You know, eventually you run out of things to do. Like, it's just what happens. And when you're versing level 130 mobs, and when you're level 100, you know, it's fun, but you get over it. But, some insane modders. Modded Sarlane, and it's called the Synergy mod. It's released, I think it was this week, as a complete conversion mod for Torchlight 2. Adds a new class called the Necromancer. And new maps, tons of new mobs, elite monsters, 108 elite monsters, 6 rare dragons, 28 raid dungeons, 11 unique world bosses, 4 sets of legendary armor, 16 new tier 1 legendary weapons, and brand new quest lines, and a new world hub for Act 5. This is all in a mod. So this is going back to what you were saying before, modding's crazy if you could do stuff with this. I'm definitely going to play Torchlight 2 again. I would recommend anyone who hasn't bought Torchlight 2. I'll be Minecraft. But I imagine anyone that hasn't played this game before, get it, check it out, get this mod. It's going to be amazing, I can't wait.
I actually own the game, I haven't even played it yet, so maybe it's a good time to start playing. So I'll have to get it.
And just, like, I know you're mainly a console gamer, but when you see something like this, Nick, do you sort of get a little
you
jealous?
Kurt, you just said you all are mainly console
sorry,
gamers,
Nick.
Excuse me.
Sorry, I meant Nick, sorry, mate, settle down.
Well, first,
I mean,
let me just
Nick
say,
is one person, mate.
I'm everything to everyone, but let me just say, firstly, the game guy RPG is going to smash Torchlight 2, alright?
Alright?
Like, I don't like them both, but, you know what I'm saying. But, yeah, no, you know what? Actually, I've been looking at Torchlight 2, hearing things about it for quite a while, and I've got to say, I am actually a little interested in playing it. And what are the specs like? Is it a lot to run? It doesn't need too much, does it?
It's a low graphic game, pretty cartoony, but it's
good. Yeah, so it doesn't really need a lot?
The gameplay mechanics are really good, that's a thing. So, but the graphics-wise, not so much. Don't need much.
Yeah, I might have to check it out.
You could probably play it on your laptop.
Mate.
Well, not really, but you could probably play it on your computer. Like I don't think you need a graphics card. Maybe turn down
I'm running
some
a pretty crappy. Yeah, I'm running a pretty crappy computer, but yeah, maybe. And for the price, I mean, really, like, it's probably not even $20 now. I can't remember how much it costs, but I'd probably get the thing for $10.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll really check it out. I'll make it my mission to go check this game out.
And get the mod, because imagine how much... Look how much stuff you get. It's crazy. I remember hearing about this ages and ages and ages ago. But a whole new class. They made an entire new class in a mod. With entire, like... I'm blown away by these modders. And sorry, what was that, mate?
Can you actually tell, like... Well, I don't know yet, but no one's actually played it. But with the new class, is it based off another class? Like, originally, or is it like a whole new kind of... Like, coding for a whole new class? Like,
I'm pretty sure it's a new coding, because apparently the Necromancer's main skills called Skull Barrage, which sends out a ton of exploding skulls, and there's nothing that I can really think about that does anything like that. So,
That's also another thing, like, games that actually allow people to mod them, look at Skyrim, look at, like, Torchlight, like, it's the way of how things should be, like...
The developers that developed Torchlight, obviously you know that they developed Diablo 2, most of them, when they're talking about the game, they're like, look, this is gonna be fully open for developers, they have achievements in the game for running mods. You get an achievement if you install a mod, there's, like, certain achievements you get for doing certain things with mods. Like, they were as open as they could be with modders, and that's the reason why modders will cling to that sort of thing.
That's how it should all be for every game on PC, I think, personally.
It's funny, like, they don't realise that fans are actually a resource that can be exploited.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, and they cost you nothing. I mean, if people are willing to sit out there and play with your game and make additional content for you, I mean, you're going to be selling of their game for these people. Like, why wouldn't everybody just say, hey, just pointing it out, you guys can do this and this with our game, you know, here's our coding, or here's how to, like, make this. Like, they should actually be helping the fans make content and get a job for them. Like, the win-win.
Definitely. But I also think it's some companies don't do it is because they don't want to unbalance their multiplayer. But, like, I've never played Torchlight 2 myself. Like, I have it, I just haven't had time to play it. But, like, I think that they should... Like, they've actually embraced that you need the mod to actually play with other people, which is... That's how all games should be.
Torchlight 2 was pretty much you could cheat in multiplayer. You could do it. Well, what happened if you cheated is you got a flag in your account that's saying you had cheated or you installed mods or something like that.
Okay.
Which, so people could tell if you'd done that. If you're just joining random games and that person was like, hey, I don't really want to join a game with someone that's been using mods or anything, then they could just leave them. Or just, it was just pretty, but it didn't stop you from joining people or anything like that.
And it didn't punish them. It just said, hey, this person might be using mods.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Yeah.
Alright, so we're going to move on to our next topic now. I actually didn't know anything about this, but apparently... There's an MMO coming out called Neverwinter Nights. Its beta dates have been released, and they're doing a lot of founders. Like, a lot of thing with MMOs nowadays is they're doing these founders packs, I guess you could call them, where if you buy in early, you'll get a lot of extra stuff. You get in for beta weekends and all that sort of thing. Do you agree with, like, if you all this, what you're doing now is if you buy in really, really early, you get access to beta and all that sort of stuff. Do you think that's something that that MMO should be doing? Good? Is it good?
No.
Bad?
No, I don't think it's good.
I don't think it's good at all, mate, because you know what they get? They get a fucking general population that tests raids, tests content in MMOs, and then MMOs are based off the general population, whereas, you know, prior to that, you know, MMOs have been tested off people that are really interested in the game, like very, very interested. Someone that's actually going to play the game, you know, at the highest tier of play, and I think that's the people that should be testing games. Like, I feel like, you know, the general person that plays games, sure, they enjoy them, they have fun playing them, but they're not greatest at them, they don't have a lot of time to play. Like, I don't feel like that they should be basing their judgment off the game. Giving their judgment.
Have you guys heard anything about this game? Because this, for me, seems to have come out of nowhere. I've never heard of Neverwinter RPG.
If it's a Neverwinter Nights on thing, it was actually a game made by BioWare, I was pretty sure. Well, it was a long time ago.
Yeah,
2000.
The original
like 2001
one,
2001 yeah. or 2002, yeah. And it was actually a very, very good game. Like, all the reviewers gave it over like 90%. It was ridiculously good, actually. I played it at my uncle's place. And, yeah, I haven't heard anything about MMO at all, actually. Like, no.
Well, I remember... I know what Neverwinter is, because it's... I don't know if you guys know, but it's based off Lord Books by R.A. Salvatore. And it's... He's got his main character in the world called Drizzt, and it's based... that world. So I know all about the world, so I'm excited... I love the world, I'm excited for the world. And apparently you can play as Drizzt in this game. But I don't know, this has come out of nowhere. You'd think I would have heard about it. When you agree,
Nick? I thought you were being sarcastic when you first started saying that. Honestly, like, yeah, I've heard of it too. Like, it's been around for a while. It's been supposedly pretty popular. Again, it's a PC thing, so it's not something I ever sort of delved too deeply into. But I mean, I didn't know about this, so...
I've got
two books in my room right now. Called Neverwinter Tales or something. They're really good. Like, they're all based around the main character Drizzt and his adventures in the world and all that sort of stuff and his Icewind Dale. And like, the world is amazing. It's got it's a great world to be in.
With the game originally, like, I'm pretty sure like this is how it went. Like, the place Neverwinter, like, it's like a city, and it was coming down off a cult making a massive plague, and you had to collect four regents in order to stop the plague and fight the plague. And yeah, if that's how it's going to play out, it's going to be very different to how MMOs are now. So,
to be honest, I haven't looked too much about. Just so you know, the dates that they're saying for North America and Europe, February 8th and 10th, March 8th and 10th, and March 22nd to 24th. So if you guys want to get in, there are a couple packs that you can get. Let me see if I can find the prices for you. There's a $49 pack or a $200 pack.
Oh, wow. Bit of a hike.
Yeah, well, I think the $200 pack lets you play as Drizzt, and obviously Drizzt is the main character of like the entire whole thing. So I don't know. I'll do some more research into this game, I think, and see what it's about. Who knows? Could be good, could be bad. Let's just see.
Yeah. Oh, I'm interested actually, because I actually really like that game. So we'll just have to see how it goes.
All right. GTA 5 release date being pushed back. I'm not exactly sure what date it was. I know one of you guys
September 17th.
Push back to September 17th. That's a fair way off from when it was supposed to be released. I understand people are quite miffed, to say the least. Are you miffed, Nick? Are you miffed?
I am extremely, extremely miffed.
I don't even know what that means.
They've been saying autumn, right? Autumn's been what we've been told. Every year previous, you know, because, I mean, Rockstar has a tradition of generally releasing one game a year. Everything from the past year told us April, you know, April, May. We had, you know, flyers saying autumn, which, you know, would mean March, April, May, and they just spin around and say September 17. I'm wondering if this is a sign that GTA 5 is going to be a next-gen game.
That's a really good point to bring up, man.
Actually, from what I've read, coming out so late,
you'd think PlayStation and Xbox would probably have their consoles out by that point.
Xbox won't. I can almost guarantee Xbox won't.
You don't reckon?
Well, either way,
if it's not a next-gen game, I would bet there will be two versions of the game. I'm guessing there will be a next-gen version and a watered-down version for the PS3 and 360.
Look at
what was the system? Or Need for Speed Most Wanted, the very first one, right?
Oh, I love that game.
I do too, and that was one of my favorite Need for Speed games, but it came out right before 360 release.
Yep. And there was the two versions, yeah.
There were two versions. So if anything, you know, this is going to be the same thing. Exactly.
I'm thinking there's a version of GTA 5 out there that's so awesome. that it's, yeah, it needs to be on a next-gen console.
I can't imagine. I mean, hold on. Did you see what they tweeted or posted to their fans, though? Rockstar Games commented on commenters that were like, oh, you know, fuck you guys, all pissed, and they said, well, all your posts of anyone who's, like, mad about this
user
are going to be deleted. We're only expecting this to make the game the best game that we can make it. I mean, how do you take about that? Any game developer is going to say that, but I feel like Rockstar is going to back their product with that saying. I mean, that saying is actually ringing true for them.
Yeah, they always have been, but...
I mean, but Grand Theft Auto is a huge game, so, I mean, it takes a lot to develop a game like that. And if they want it to be the best that they want to be it, or they want it to be, and they're going to take some extra time to develop it, then who cares? Like, let them take some extra time.
It just seems...
No big deal.
So close to launch.
The haters can bitch as much as they want, but at the end of the day, they're still going to be there at the midnight launch buying that game.
Oh,
nobody
definitely
has the balls to actually go, you know what, that's fucked, and I'm not going to buy your game. They'd be idiots. They will not do it. So,
well,
you know
why
what?
Would
let
you not buy a game based off release date? Like, that's the most idiotic thing I've ever heard of. I would never buy a game off release date.
Yeah, well, if anything, the game's actually going to be better if it's released later than earlier, because they're going to have more time to develop
it. Exactly, you're giving the
developer
more
time. Well, that doesn't work in all cases. Diablo 3. but anyway, all in all, I'm looking forward to playing this on PC in 3 years, so I'll be excited for it when it comes out.
I'm playing Grand Theft Auto on my Xbox.
I will too, I think.
Anyway, we are controller, changing it, because some of the devs complained about the D-pad. They didn't like it was too much of a disc, it was hard to use.
Well, hold on, Kurt. By the way, I found almost 30 diamonds so far during our
Minecraft,
our podcast.
Making its way into podcasts. Awesome.
30 fucking diamonds though, mate. That's a lot in less than an hour. Like, that's pretty good.
That is pretty good. Make me some diamond armor. Anyway.
Fuck you.
Ouya controller, they're changing it. I'm really excited though, because devs are actually listening. I mean, the Ouya people are listening to what the devs want and actually making changes to their hardware this late in the cycle. It's pretty encouraging, wouldn't you say, for a new company?
Yeah, definitely. Well, like, imagine trying to tell PlayStation, like, obviously they're a lot more bigger and huger, but, like, this has had pretty overwhelming support. Imagine telling PlayStation to change their controller. That was totally get fucked.
Yeah, mate.
Oh, kind of work Vita.
Yeah, but Vita's terrible.
If you told PlayStation to change their controller, they'd be like, yeah, fuck you.
They'll probably
sue
you.
This is what... Yeah, they would probably sue you. That's correct.
Alright, that was just a quick one, but... Alright, something that's pretty close to me, I really want to talk about this. Heart of the Swarm. Blizzard is finally doing what they fucking should have done 2 years ago with Star Wars. I mean, StarCraft, sorry. What you're going to be able to do... is you're going to be able to restart a game that's obviously been shut down or something from the replay. So basically one of the things that in competitive tournaments was really annoying, because obviously there is no LAN for StarCraft. And what that means...
Well, you know what, mate? Why don't they just develop LAN for StarCraft?
They won't, because they're full on internet sort of thing now. But
why not, mate? It'd be a good idea.
I know it'd be a good idea, but they're not going to do it. But what they did do is, like, StarCraft tournaments, you'd have, like, an internet dropout and the game is lost. That's doesn't matter where you are, like, you have to start again or something. That ruined a few tournaments, actually. With this, if it drops, you'll be able to restart right from where you were, which is pretty amazing. And I think you'd already do it on... What's the other game? League of Legends.
Yeah, you can, yeah. Indeed.
But what also is good is... you could grab a replay pack
user
of a pro and start from one of their points and play like a pro, playing a pro's game, or the pros could grab back some of their big games they lost and try and figure out what they could have done differently.
Yeah, definitely. I was just going to say, that'd be really good for practice. Like, so maybe like all the tournaments are stepping up their games a bit more from like after this.
Yeah. So Blizzard seems like they're finally starting to listen. I feel like Blizzard's always one step behind in esports, though, which is really weird, considering they should be the ones in
one
the
step
lead.
Ahead.
Yeah. I mean, come on, well, Blizzard.
Even if you look at the tournaments, like, you never ever see, like, Blizzard, like, being advertised or anything. It's always the sponsors, like Razer or TT Sports or something.
Monster,
like,
even.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, it's crazy. Like, you would think that the developer of the game would be, like, in the actual, like, be there supporting the tournament, and it's not the case at all. Really strange.
Sometimes they do. Sometimes yeah. In GOM they do, I'm pretty sure. But they're partnered pretty much with GOM.
I think they kind of just hand it over to, like, yeah, someone who, like, in Korea or something, that would do all the advertising and everything. They just don't get as much as they really should. Do you?
Yeah, they're just like, nah, don't worry about it.
Yeah, they're just a developer, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Just really what reason would they have to care? I mean, they're making money either way. People are playing their game.
Exactly right. Yeah. Well, could you imagine how much copies will be sold, like, in Korea on the first day? Like, it's ridiculous, yeah. Like,
so many. Alright, so, another big one. THQ, dead.
I am
pissed about this. No, don't talk about this, mate. This,
I am so
upset. This is going to go back, I swear, the event. It's not happening. No.
We're going to ruin Cade. THQ officially sold off most of their assets, which I'm actually thankful that most of the good assets got picked up. I think apart from the wrestling one, that's the only one I think that's left from them.
Oh, no, no more wrestling.
Yeah, so...
Who the fuck cares?
I don't care about that, but... The games I'm really thankful they got picked up, South Park, The Stick of Truth, picked up by Ubisoft, I believe.
That's good, I think.
Violation, obviously the guys who make Saints Row got picked up. They were going to get picked up by Ubisoft, but then some other company picked them up, I think.
I think it was the same company who actually bought probably one of my favorite first-person shooters, or post-apocalyptic, Metro, Co-Media.
Metro.
Yeah, and if that delays the game, because I've been waiting for so long, it's supposed to be out in March, I'm pretty sure.
I'd say, mate, but it's going to delay the game no matter what.
I'm so upset.
At least a little bit, but not, I mean, maybe not by much, but you can guarantee that that's going to delay the game by at least a little bit, because there's a lot that has to go on to develop it at this point.
I think, like, maybe, like, games like The Stick of Truth or something might actually get pushed out faster. Like, obviously, that was getting pushed back quite a bit by the company. It was meant to be out earlier this year. It was meant to be out this year sometime. They got pushed back quite a bit. But I think Ubisoft might push it even. And that game looks amazing. I can't wait to play it.
What I'm glad got picked up is it was kind of like, you know, the last kid in gym class to get picked, which I was getting a bit worried. Darksiders 3...
Wow, yeah.
For a while there, it seemed like it wasn't going to get picked by anybody, which led to a really great reveal on Twitter. One of the creators came out and was like, oh, it's a real shame. It looks like people aren't going to get to play Darksiders 3. We've been having a lot of fun playing four-player co-op.
Got
picked up. All four horsemen in Darksiders 3. Can you imagine that's going to be
incredible.
Amazing.
That
was a great little reveal, and I'm glad they got picked up. I think, I could be wrong on this, Crytek? Does that sound right?
I think Crytek
picked them up.
Yeah, the...
Don't quote me on that one.
Yeah, Crytek also... Crytek also bought the... It wasn't a very good game. I actually enjoyed it, though. I think Nick enjoyed it, too. Homefront. Crytek bought Homefront, too, so...
Homefront.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't a good game, but the cinematics were incredible. I didn't mind it.
Do you guys... Sorry, go on, Jesse.
What about... here's a big game we kind of missed out. What about Company Heroes 2? Like, that was bought by... who bought that? I'm not sure, actually, who bought it, but that's, like... Company Heroes is a pretty massive game, and number two was looking really good, so hopefully it doesn't... Actually, I think Sega actually bought it, so I don't know.
I'm wondering who picked up Saints Row.
Same company who bought Metro, Koch Media, Koch? Yeah, they the German media group, yeah, K-O-C-H.
Can I just say how tragic this is? Like, seriously, this seeing THQ go down pisses me off.
You know what I'm most worried about? What about the original Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, man?
Nothing's been mentioned about that,
Anyway, so
I miss the old Tony Hawk.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, it's shit that we're in this field where it doesn't matter how good you are or how good the product is that you make, that you can still... basically get screwed and completely go down. Well, Call of Duty, year after year, keeps raking in bucket loads of money with the same shit.
The thing is, Nick, the CEO severely mismanaged THQ. The whole reason it went down, there were a few reasons, basically, they bought UDraw, which was an incredible stupendous waste of money. They wasted so much money on that. So that was one thing they faced. Then they took so long to get out of Kids Game. They will continue to make Kids Game. Especially in a time when Kids Games are already taken over by iPhones and all that sort of thing. There was no market for Kids Games anymore, and they were pumping money into that. They just made bad investment after bad investment after bad investment, and your company can only survive that long. The games they were making was actually, you're right, they were hugely popular, great games, but when you just make that many bad decisions, it's not going to work.
We're talking about the iPhone game and Kids Games though for a while now. Earlier we were talking about Android and handheld games. At this point, you know, what's going to be the next step for Kids Games and handheld games? Like, I'm kind of curious what your opinion is on that.
But
at the same time, Angry Birds is a kid game. Is a kid's game. How many adults play that? It's a fun game to play. I have Angry Birds on my iPhone.
So do I, yeah. But if you think about it, like, you actually see a lot of kids, like, even walk around with iPod touches and iPads now. Most kids aren't playing handhelds. They're playing off their parents' iPhones or iPod touch, and they're just playing the games off the iOS.
And that brings up my next point. So the next developer that's going to come out with the next handheld, I think at this point...
Apple, yeah.
You know, Apple has a great thing going, but the next handheld gamer device is going to be a phone. It has to be. Otherwise, there's going to be no competition, because who wants to carry around both? And you can develop something that has amazing gaming capabilities, but is also a phone. That's just the way it's going to have to be.
That's been played with. Like, you look at that. The Sony Xperia was a PSP built into a phone. Like, it was running off Android, I was pretty sure, or something. And so we'll have to see. Like, a lot of even handhelds are moving to Android, so it won't take long for a company to actually make, like, yeah, let's put a phone and a handheld into one that will actually work. Sony Xperia was, like, I'm not going to lie, it was terrible. Like, I had it as a work phone. And so hopefully, like, maybe, I'm not saying Apple, like, maybe even, like, a bigger company, like HTC or something will try and play with it. So we'll see
HTC,
how it goes.
Apple's, like, the biggest company right now, man. Though they're huge. The problem is that Apple is too big. And they're so big that they don't have a need to really develop anything intuitive at this point.
Yeah,
like,
exactly right.
They can kind of sit back, and that's a huge problem. When companies get too big, I feel like it becomes a problem.
Yeah.
I just found more diamonds.
On the subject of THQ, just real quick. Hmm. Has anyone actually looked at a UDraw tablet?
No, I have not.
You've
never looked at a UDraw tablet?
I'm not interested in tablets, like, what's the point? I just want to hear your opinion first before you go into this. What's the point of having a tablet, mate?
No, my question is this. THQ came up with the UDraw quite a few years back now.
Hmm.
And it was a thing with the Wii. It was more probably prominent on the Wii than anything else. Down the track, Nintendo comes up with Wii U, a tablet controller that, in a sense, to me, looked almost identical to it. It even had U in the name. UDraw, Wii U... Applet. I'm surprised THQ didn't make
thieves.
Money off that.
Fucking thieves. Nah, kidding.
I think that could have been the nail in the coffin too, actually. Like,
right, if I was THQ, I would have sued Nintendo and been like, what the hell? Even the U, I think, on the UDraw box has like a little blue thing around it. I swear to God, like, go look at a UDraw tablet if you can find one anywhere. And tell me I'm wrong. Because, yeah, they deserve some money. Like, THQ should be freaking suing.
Yeah. Before we move on, I'm just going to say, like, it's actually, like, pretty sad news. Like, I'm quite upset about it, because, like, they had a lot of games I actually liked. Like,
same. THQ was a great company.
Yeah, like, Company of Heroes, I played a lot of that game. That was amazing. And Metro, like, incredible, right? And, yeah.
Can I say, as someone who went to a lot of vendor conferences and stuff through work, THQ also had some of the most fun booths that I can remember. In recent memory... Their games, they were really fun the way they presented them. Like, I remember, this is probably a bad example, but Saints Row, when they were showing it off, they had all girls dressed up as fucking hoes.
Bet you love that, Nick. Love that.
It was awesome. It was fucking awesome. They just had the best way and the most fun way of presenting their
stuff. How'd your wife like that, Nick?
He doesn't know. Hopefully she maybe hears that.
I think we're all hope she watched our podcast.
Yeah,
wait, like, you're telling me that you don't have your wife watch our podcast? That's one viewer that we, like, don't have now, mate. I'm really
disappointed. I'm using the internet right now. Like, she can't be watching it.
All right, so before we move on, I think we'll have 3 seconds of devoted silence to our fallen comrade.
Make it 10, mate. At least 10.
Well, nah. 10's too long for a
I think we should have a drink.
No, 10 is not too long. Maybe a 10
to no,
silence.
That's right. Let's just have a drink.
Or
have
pour
a drink.
40 on the curb.
For THQ. Cheers, THQ. You played.
You will be missed.
You did some good games. You did well. That's some tasty scotch. Yep. JJ Abraham, developing next Star Wars. Go.
Woo!
You think that's good, Nick? I don't think it's good at all, to be honest.
I think it's freaking great. I think Disney's made a brilliant move. The man who's, like, rebooting the Star Trek franchise now has control of Star Wars as well. He's great. He's an amazing director. Why would that not be a good thing?
Oh, my God. Star Trek, Star Wars are going to merge.
No.
The man controls both.
what an awesome...
Star Wars now.
I think he's a really good science fiction kind of, like a filmmaker, but like, what do you think? Like, honestly, Nick, I think you're like the best Star Wars person to talk to that I know personally. Like, do you think he'll stick with the actual story that's going on now, or do you think he'll start of a whole new era in Star Wars?
I think to some degree he has started a new era. The smartest thing in my book would be to get the old characters just as cameos.
Yeah.
Just launching a new storyline, like maybe have Luke Skywalker as the Grand Master of the Jedi, setting some new Jedi on his path, or have an appearance by Princess Leia. I can guarantee Harrison Ford's not going to be in it because he's pretty much said a million times he'll never do it, he'll never go back.
Yeah, and they're too old at this point too.
What they need to do, right, is like what the extended universe did, like with the books and stuff, the books have made it into an entire universe where the movies are sort of just following this one family. What I think Disney could really do with these movies is make it a universe where they can have stories told in this universe, not just about Jedi. Maybe there could be like a bounty hunter movie, and they could just have different movies set in the Star Wars universe, not so much centered around this one family.
That's a good idea.
I agree with like 100% that is a great idea, but my only problem with that is that George Lucas has always said that the episodes are basically the tale of the Skywalker family. Or not that he hasn't gone back on his word like a million times, but I don't know. I think you've got to have Skywalkers in a sense.
No, but mate, that's what George Lucas has said. We're going to be developing a whole new tradition at this point.
Yeah.
They have the potential to go with a whole another story.
That's great.
They could be basing it off something completely different than that at this point, and that's a great opportunity.
You have long.
Doesn't have to be.
That's awesome, but don't call it Episode 7. That's what I'm saying.
Make it about whatever
the hell you want. It'll be amazing, but don't be calling it 7, 8, 9.
No,
don't be making out that it's a continuation, because that's where it's gonna get screwy.
I hate to bring this into it, but like it's the same in the James Bond movies, in my opinion. The James Bond movies, like, it's not fucking Bond. It should have been called completely something else. But instead, they labeled it as James Bond and called the same character James Bond. Like that's not how they fucking should have done it. It needs to be a new character. The whole style
you
of
can't
the movie,
do that with Star
everything
Wars,
about
sorry.
The character is completely different. And they need to do this.
Being a huge Bond fan, like, I think that was just because of Ian Fleming's books. Like, they kind of based them off there to his last book or his first book. Because actually, Casino Royale was originally the first book that he wrote. Like, it's kind of weird how they did it. I don't know why they did it, actually.
Well, the problem is the actors, though, mate. So what I'm saying is, like, if you can't get the same actors to participate in a movie, make a fucking new series, but in the same context. Because that ruined James Bond for me. After I saw that first fucking movie, after I saw Casino Royale, I was like, okay, Bond, trilogy, Bond franchise, whatever, it's all fucked.
Yeah.
Pierce Bronson was the last good actor that I've seen.
Yeah,
a lot of people don't even like him, but I think that he did a really good job in Star Wars, or not Star Wars, James Bond.
Pierce Bronson in Star Wars.
Look, I love Star Wars, I love the books, but... Even though I know everything that happens after the movies, according to the books, I think that it wouldn't be the first time they've made movies that have nothing to do with the books. Like, they've thrown out the books in the past. There were a lot of books that came out before the prequel trilogy that just sort of became null and void once the prequels came out. Like, they've done it before, so it'll be interesting if they'll respect the source material.
They won't. They won't care.
Universe. They won't care. They'll make whatever they want, and they'll say, you know what, those old novels, well, screw you. You don't
then again,
anymore,
like,
so.
I just, like, the Star Wars universe is such, it's so rich right now, considering, like, now you have this, like, even though, yeah, maybe the Star Wars game isn't as successful as we wanted, but, like, look, thinking of all the lore they've made around that era, and, like, they could choose a whole other era in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Well, and make channel, some more out. Stories in Star Wars that just
imagine,
have nothing to do with it.
You know what? Sorry, Jesse, go you better.
I think that, honestly, I'd love to either see Darth Plagueis, because that'd be awesome, or I'd love to see Knights of the Old Republic. They should just make a movie based around that time. Like, that would be incredible. Like, I'd love that.
And one thing, as I'm going back to... We'll go back to J.J. Abraham, and why... That's why I'm actually backing him for this, and I think he'd be he's perfect for the role. Look what he's done with Star Trek. He's paid... what he did with Star Trek is he remade it, yes. Not the same... He paid homage to the original characters and story, but it's... new, it's separate and it's different, and he did a good job and people liked it. I think he can do the same thing for Star Wars, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but I mean, he's doing a reboot though, you know what I mean? Like, that's the thing too. I mean, yeah, I think I agree, he's going to bring new life to it and stuff. And, but you know, the novels are actually at the perfect point right now to start movies, okay? You've got Luke Skywalker, the Grand Master, is pretty much the age that Mark Hamill would be right now, and he has like a 16-year-old son, Ben Skywalker. I mean, what a perfect launching point.
Isn't Mark Hamill fat as shit, but?
Hey?
Isn't Mark Hamill really fat now, though?
I would have an idea. I don't know. I haven't seen a picture of Mark Hamill, but...
Who cares? He's a fucking Hollywood actor, man.
I'm sure for the right money, they can, you know, they can trim him up and fucking give him some liposuction. I don't know.
I could even,
he can go
like,
to the fucking gym and work out, like, no problem.
They could buy the rights of, like, the Usain Vong books. Imagine how amazing, like, the Usain Vong books would be in movie form.
That would be amazing, but I don't know how you do it without Luke and, Leia and Han and all
that. You can't really. But you could cut them out and base it more, like, you could have them have, like, a small cameo and then base it more, because it was more about, like, the sons. It was more about their story, actually.
Yeah, so, you know what? I want to see the family continued. I could totally go without any of the olds, as long as, you know, whoever it is has a surname Solo or Skywalker or whatever.
You could explain it. You could have a short story and explain it.
Yeah, you only really need the droids, honestly. You get R2-D2 and C-3PO in there, because they've been pretty much the only constant theme throughout the entire series.
And they're timeless, mate. They
can be played by anyone, so...
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Don't forget Jar Jar.
Ah, fuck Jar Jar.
Fuck Jar Jar.
I hate that guy. Yeah.
Can I tell you something? Do you guys know Jar Jar's still alive in episode 6?
Really? What?
Okay. Go back and watch Star Wars on Blu-ray with, you know, the one where they put Hayden Christensen at the end of Return of the Jedi. Turn on the subtitles and then watch the final scene where they're playing all that music and they're going from planet to planet, right?
Mm.
At one stage, they go to Coruscant. Not Coruscant, Naboo. They show Naboo. If you've got the subtitles turned on and you listen carefully, you'll hear Jar Jar say very clearly, "We are free!" It's his fucking voice, and it comes up in the subtitles.
So
Jar
put
Jar
it in
is
the...
fucking alive in Return of the Jedi.
He put Jar Jar back in. He ruined everything.
If he put it to episode 7 and they put Jar Jar, they better kill him in the first 5 minutes. They'll have the crowd in an uproar, mate. People love that movie.
It's like Jar Jar's like, "I'm here." Some guy gets out like a rifle.
You guys all sound like Mario right now.
I'm making a pizza. Hey, I'm a Mario. I'm making a pizza, man.
Yeah, honestly, like, if I could say anything, I don't even think they should even continue. Like, they should just leave it. Like, they should just, like, choose a new era. Like what I said
make
before.
Make new movies.
Yeah, imagine, like, Knights of the Old Republic, like, a series.
That'd
be crazy good.
The Revan storyline.
Revan, exactly. Like,
first Knights of the Old Republic
good.
Game in movie form.
Thing I'm sad for? We still haven't finished the Revan storyline. I still don't know who the Emperor is. Still don't know what's going on with Revan.
Yeah,
that's the only thing keeping me tied to Star Wars: The Old Republic.
We better
moment.
Get a bloody novel if they end. If they shut that MMO down, I better get a novel saying who the hell this Emperor is.
Yeah, I've read every single novel about it. I've read everything.
I know,
I read...
awesome.
Oh my god, so
and Revan's
good.
Still alive, basically. Yeah.
Revan's still alive. You fight him in Star Wars Republic. You beat him, he turns into lightning or something, and then he goes away. But I'm pretty sure he's still alive. And we don't know who the Emperor is. Oh my! It's so much. Like, I'm probably gonna play it. Yeah. That's the only reason I think I'm probably gonna play the Star Wars expansion when it comes out, just to see if I get any more glimpses of the story to do with that.
Yeah, what is it, the Hutt Cartels? I find that really uninteresting. Ooh. If they had the new expansion about the Emperor, I probably would have been all over it.
Exactly.
If I'm going to do anything around that, I think that would probably be the last expansion I would do, because that's like what everyone's holding on to, like, I think.
Alright,
mate, everyone's going to forget by the time they get around to freaking doing it.
Yeah. Alright, so Elder Scrolls Online, you guys might have heard about it, has released, they had their beta invite.
Heard about it, mate. I fucking signed up for the beta the first day it was released. I think everyone in here did.
That's I signed up. There's not much to say about it. They've done their beta sign-ups for it. It looks amazing. Does anyone want to say anything about the beta? I think Liam did.
Yeah. It was really this beta I signed up for, and it was really all the process of going through it, where they made you put down your PC specs and everything. Yeah, I just thought it was a little... It was
like
a
make
cool...
You made, hold on. They didn't make
didn't,
you put your PC, spec,
you,
PC specs. But it's one of the better chance...
Yeah,
you know,
so they're basically telling you...
I got excellent.
Basically telling you, like, if you don't put your PC specs down, you've got fuck all chance of getting a beta.
They didn't say that, mate. They just said you have a better chance if you put them down. Like, let's be honest. Yeah.
Hey,
gotta be honest here.
Let's be honest. If you don't put the specs down, who the fuck's gonna choose you?
You know what, mate? I'm not sure how worried they are about that. You know?
Yeah, I don't know either. But I'm just saying the whole process was pretty cool of how they did it. It's the first time I did something like that, and that was pretty cool.
It's not like it's hard or anything. You just go to type BXDAG, whatever it was, and just copy and paste it on there.
Talking about the whole beta process, applying getting them to show you history and everything of playing the games and stuff. That was pretty cool. I just enjoyed,
Let's be honest here. Obviously, they're in the mindset that a lot of people who play WoW are going to try to play Elder Scrolls, like they did with Guild Wars 2. So they're going to see how they can optimize the games with the census of everyone's hardware. So that's the only reason they're doing it.
They're going to give you bad access to your shit computer.
Exactly.
Then you bang it out.
Dude, you can play WoW on a fucking calculator, that's what they're trying to do. They're gonna try and do that with this. They can't make it some crazy graphical game, because not everyone's gonna be able to play it.
Yeah, well, I got an excellent on my my sign up. It's an excellent job, top of the range.
I just got the one below excellent.
Yeah, I got excellent. It was good.
All right. I got excellent too.
All right, so that's that. SimCity beta was out, I think, this recent week. Did any of you guys play the beta at all?
Fuck yeah.
I got a code, but I gave it to Shant, so...
Shannon played it. Sideswipe. It was...
What the hell? I got your code? I got my own code. He was all like, yeah, I got a code. And I was like, oh, good for you, mate. You got your code, though? I'm really
So what do you think of the game, Chris? It's a new game coming.
I thought it was really great. It was really fun, mate. Basically, the beta gave us an hour to play the game. However, it had, limited specializations. Basically, in the new SimCity, you can specialize your city into something like gambling or mining or anything like that. The only one that we could specialize in is gambling, so it was rather limited. However, the beta itself pretty much gave us an hour to do whatever the fuck we wanted to do with the city. And it was really, really fun. There were, a few buildings that were limited as well, other than just specializations. But, overall... Even without those fucking, buildings, I played the beta for multiple hour-long sessions, and it was extremely fun. Basically, I think this is going to be the best SimCity yet, obviously. Why wouldn't it be?
There was a huge uproar on it, though.
Online only.
No, not only that. Well, basically, they only announced one version of the game originally. Everyone went out and pre-ordered the basic edition, so everyone starts off on fair ground. And then, only a couple of days ago, on the 30th of January, EA announced the deluxe edition. And basically, what they added it so you could change to some European cities or something, I was told. But I think the normal version of the game was $60. And the deluxe edition was $80, and everyone that's US, not Australian, by the way. And and everyone's going crazy to EA Game because everyone's going out and pre-ordered the game, and they're saying, well, you want us to add an extra $20 for a bit of content. But knowing me, like, I'm the type of person, if I can throw $20 and get more gameplay out of it, I will do it. And so everyone's starting to realize that EA are kind of the kings of doing this. Like, they just want DLC or DLC, and it's not even much DLC. But it, so it's Australia, it's going to cost $129 for the Collector's Edition, and you only get one extra thing. That's all you get, so...
I think every game does this, though, doesn't it? Like, this is pretty standard practice.
You're wrong, because most games actually announce their special editions when they announce their normal editions. The problem that a lot of players have had at this point is that EA released their special edition so much later than their normal edition that everyone that wanted fucking SimCity 4 was like, fuck yeah, pre-order that shit, let's go right now. And then they got fucked because the normal edition, you know, was the one that they pre-ordered.
Yeah, well, even if you look at, like Battlefield 3, like they released the game with Back to Kharkan for the limited edition, and then they said for you to get the next backpack that comes out in 2 months, you're gonna have to go out and buy premium or buy it separately for $20 each. Like, so that's an extra, like, for Australians it was like $60 to $70 for the premium edition, and realistically, like, you get a map pack like every 4 months, and it's pretty it's pretty expensive, like, if you think about it.
But you're saving money doing premium.
I've got a very simple philosophy when it comes to DLC, which I think most of you will agree with. If it's ready and the game's ready to go out, it should be included in the game. If it's made after the game releases, then you can let us DLC. I think it's a bit of a rip when you've got something ready, and it's even when it's on the disc, like, that's the biggest rip, where something's on the disc and you literally have to buy something to unlock it. When the
data
is
DLC.
Already there.
Yeah, exactly.
Fucking
that's
retarded,
the biggest
man.
Bullshit ever.
Yeah.
It's on the disc. You've paid for it. That's it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what
and
I mean?
That also pisses me off, too. Like, remember back in the day, when they released DLC, like, they released it as a separate, like, expansion pack. Now, you kind of have to, like, you go to a game store, and you buy a code. Like, you spend, like, $40, and you get, like, a fucking 10-digit code, you go put in your computer, then you have to download it. Like, it's so expensive. And another thing is, I don't hate Origin, but a lot of people hate EA Origin, and, like, in order for you to play the game online, you have to be connected to Origin all the whole time. And a lot of people don't like that for some reason.
It's fucking annoying. Yeah. Well, it's annoying, mate, because Origin is more CPU heavy than Steam.
Yeah.
It takes up more space. It's not the greatest thing. Like, why couldn't they just develop it through Steam? Like, why not?
Yeah, they want to promote their own thing. So that's what
But they're not promoting their own thing. They're making their own thing look like shit. No one wants to play their thing. Everyone
would much
rather go through Steam. It's like, so why?
I didn't say they're smart, Chris. They want to get people to use their thing that they've developed, and this is one way they can get to do it. All right, so
I'm done. Hold on, I'm done mining, mate. And I found 27 diamonds in the last 40 minutes.
What a pro!
That's pretty good. 27 diamonds is a lot.
We've been playing Minecraft so much, guys, that you can't even handle going a podcast without it. I haven't played in a while, but love it. Alright, so we're moving to our last topic for the week. Devil May Cry. It's our review for the week. Came out on PC 2 weeks ago, I believe. Consoles earlier. I played it. Liam played it. Nick played it. We all played it. There's been some different reviews, a lot of good reviews on the net and everything. There are some people that don't like it, I think mainly because they don't like the new Dante, but I don't give a shit because I never played the old game, so I don't really care. I thought the combat was amazing. I thought the combat was fluid. You could change between your gun, do juggle combos with the guns really easily. I thought the axe was a bit overpowered. I liked the fists a lot more than the axe, but the axe was probably the strongest thing ever. And when you got the quiller, that was pretty OP as well, because you had to stun things with, like, blades that just, like, stun on them. So, like, I could see some bad aspects in the combat system, but overall, story was really good, well done. There were good cutscenes, like, they went for a fair amount of time, but there wasn't too long, so it wasn't like Assassin's Creed length, where it was just cutscene after cutscene after cutscene. You had a good intermission of cutscenes and action, and the boss fights were entertaining. I'll never forget fighting that succubus. probably the most hilarious boss fight I've ever done. Oh my god.
I would say
that was pretty funny.
Fighting a giant mutated baby that sucks its own mother into its belly button would probably be the most memorable boss fight in recent memory.
Oh, that was
I can't forget that boss fight.
Or even fighting a television fucking station.
And that world where you're going...
that was cool.
Where you're going through, like, some of the worlds are amazing. Like, there's this one world where you're basically in a nightclub and it's such a different... Like, before you're in this gothic... like stuff and everything, but then there's a level where there's techno music and like it's just so different, like so many different environments. Replayability's there because you want to actually, you can, it's each level is sort of like its own timed run where you can maybe try and get done faster, do better combos, just do better all up. Like I can see the replayability value of it. And the only thing I wasn't quite so happy about was the final boss fight. I thought it wasn't very intuitive, and I thought he blocked way too fucking often for my liking.
I haven't played it myself, but like, would you say, like, because I remember, I haven't played it, but Devil May Cry 4, I bought it when it first came out on Xbox, and like, they had the two characters. How was it with just one character? Like,
it was perfect.
It was fine, like, there wasn't no, like holes in the storyline or anything like that, or was just...
They read the story so well that you didn't care about the other characters, like, if you had a different character to play.
Plus, it was a reboot, so it's more akin to Devil May Cry 1.
Oh, beautiful.
It kind of followed that general story. Even the bad guy, bad guy in it, was actually the same main bad guy as the first one.
It's a prequel to the old ones.
It was so good.
No,
like.
It's not really a prequel. It's.
It's,
I mean, it's,
it's
a reimagining.
Story,
it's a reimagining of the first one.
I was
I
must say, I was pretty disappointed with the last two boss fights. I thought, like, it was the last boss fight I didn't enjoy. Didn't have fun at all in that boss fight. And the one before that, like, even though I enjoyed, like, the scenes in it, I thought it was much, much, much too easier. I thought every single other boss fight was harder in the game. I thought it was probably the easiest boss fight in the game, the last boss fight. Which I found sort of weird. I thought the hardest boss fight was actually the baby boss fight.
Yeah, that's pretty fair call, actually. I mean, I gotta say, look, I love this game. As reboots go, it's probably the best reboot of a series that I can remember ever playing. If they say there's Devil May Cry 2, you know, coming out after this, man, I'll be the first in line to buy it.
Yeah. You like new Dante?
I love the new Dante. I think everybody who whinged about his hair is just a big sook. Like, are you serious? God's sakes, people, play the damn game to the end. They write your stupid white hair thing into the story. Like,
did they like when he had that wig on him?
They even make a joke about
the wig
it, which
on?
Was hilarious.
Yeah.
I thought that was hilarious. I loved it. That was such a bit of a, like, a fuck you to the fans, but I love that. Like, I love that kind of stuff. Like, ha, screw you guys, you know? Oh, is this what you want?
Nah. That's it.
Forget
that's
it.
Strange.
You know
what
I mean?
Happen.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think it was really nicely done. He had the same sort of humour, and he's supposed to be a dickbag. Like, he's
I think
he's
more of a smartass in this.
He was. His personality was
like,
at, perfect,
he,
I reckon.
His personality, like, changed. Like, at the start, you'd think, like, he doesn't care about anything, and then he really grows... I don't know, he just grows as a character, I think, a lot.
Yeah. I think it was amazingly done. Good job, Ninja Theory. They've done good work.
I'm going to go back and do the last boss fight, actually. Because I'll tell you guys, I'll do the last boss fight, and apparently there's some super secret thing that you meant to do, which I didn't see, that Nick told me afterwards. So I did it, like, for 20 minutes, and I was like, I just yelled, fuck this. Because I would say last boss fight is not fun at all. I didn't enjoy it. I thought it was probably the worst part of the entire game.
You know what, though? We were complaining earlier that games these days, and, you know, but now when they do things like that, where they're like, you know what, we're not going to tell you what to do. You fucking work it out. We get pissed off because we're so used to having our hands held and, like, you know, used to having everything explained
to us. But I think, I think other games, like, back in the day, when something was hard, it was more intuitive hard, though. Like, it may have been hard to do, but they didn't put you somewhere and just have, like, something random you have to do. You got no idea what it is. Sometimes they do, but I never actually thought that was good game design of just having something random and you have no idea what it is and to just try, like, random shit.
On the topic of reboots, the Prince of Persia reboot that happened ages ago, you know, it was terrible. Like, I just thought that was a really bad reboot. But
the Forgotten Sands?
No, not the Forgotten Sands. The one with Nolan reboot.
North.
Yeah, and but there was one scene where, yeah, you had to randomly, like, you had to jump off the edge of... You basically had to try and kill yourself to pass a part, which I thought was pretty fucking random. Like, you know, they didn't spell it out to you.
It's counterintuitive.
Yeah, you've been fighting for 20 years. The trick was, try to kill yourself. Go and walk to the edge and jump off the damn cliff. And then you'll... Yeah, it's like... Yeah, sometimes it can be really counterintuitive.
That's not fun gameplay.
I think the only masters of that type of stuff is, like Metal Gear Solid. Like, you have to, like, kill yourself or fake your own death. Like, that's the only kind of game that could probably get away with it these days, I think.
If it works for the story, but it can't be just like random. You've played a set of rules for all this time, and then they just throw some curveball.
Mm.
Like, that's a bit annoying.
You always have to play within a set of rules. I think you can completely break the rules, but you have to have something to lead you to it. Obviously,
yeah.
Otherwise, it's just shit. It's boring and annoying.
Well, I reckon off topic from all of that, one of the best parts about the game was at the transition from the real world to Limbo. That was a pretty cool idea, how they did that.
I wish there was more real world stuff, though, to be honest. That was one thing.
Sorry?
I didn't like how everything was in Limbo. I thought it would be a little bit more fun to have some things in
Limbo got a little repetitive. You know what I thought was majorly jarring? Majorly jarring was that puzzle sequence towards the end. Just out of nowhere, you've got to help Virgil by aligning those symbols.
Yeah, what the hell?
That
it took me a while to figure that out.
It was easy as shit, but it was weird.
It was just thrown in there out of nowhere. It's like, where the fuck did this come from? It's like, there's been no puzzles, and all of a sudden you just throw this puzzle in. Like,
it was cool.
It's still a great game. Like, it's top game. Top notch. Good job.
Yeah.
So that's
notch,
all...
Mate. Top fucking notch.
Yeah, so that's all our topics for the
week,
guys.
Bring on number two.
Anyone else have anything they want to talk about this week? Anything else that we may have missed?
Nope.
That's it. So we're going to do our shout-outs for the week. We'll go around the table. Start off with Lim. Shout-outs, mate.
I'd like to shout-out to my band, my favourite episode.
Hold on, we didn't talk about some city better.
Yeah, we did.
Yes, what?
We didn't. When?
You even
before
discussed
Devil May
about
Cry.
It.
You talked
you discussed about it.
Go home, Chris, you're drunk.
Okay.
Alright, I'd like to shout out to my band, my favourite episode. Go check us out on Facebook. Not much else after that. Fucking see you next time, guys.
Alright.
Wait, Kurt, did you tell me I'm drunk? That's a good thing, mate. I've had a shitty day. I'm glad.
Alright, Nick, shout-outs. Shout-outs for the week.
Thanks for watching, guys. To Nick Abbs Comics, and make sure you like the page to get all the updates on the RPG, which will hopefully be done one of these days if I stop adding stuff to it. So, come and get all the news there.
AKA
and
never.
I look forward to releasing it.
Never. All right, Chris, Duck Trance.
Shout out Nick Abbs Comics, and life. Let's get drunk.
All right. And our newest host, Jesse. First shout-outs. What do you want to shout-out to?
Actually, shout-out to you guys. Like, thanks for having me on your show. I actually really enjoyed it. That was a pretty good conversation. I'd actually like to do it again sometime. And shout-out just to anyone who wants to play Battlefield 3 with me, because I've just really started playing it, and it'd be cool to find some new people to play with. Thanks, guys.
And I've been Krazak. I've been Krazak, your lovable host, as always. You can reach Scotch Gaming at www.facebook.com/ScotchGamingPodcast, or you can find the show on our YouTube or our Twitch, www.twitch.tv/Krazak. This has been episode 15. I thought it was pretty good. We'll see
Alrighty,
you again.
More episodes than Star Wars.
Exactly. We'll see you again next week. We're out of here. Here goes our outro. We're not gonna ever get it up. If I there we go.
I'm a walrus. Fuck the throat.
Yeah. Ladies, fuckers.